Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Lizzie, to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. We are super excited to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to see what's been transpiring in your life. Are you getting ready for the holidays?
Well, not officially yet. I'm kind of in more cleanup, like tidy up, you know, get organized first before I bring out all the decorations and stuff.
Before we
make a bigger mess. Clean before we make a bigger mess.
Exactly. Because we don't have anything to do in wintertime. So we got to kind of put everything out and then create a mess so we can put it down again.
Yeah. But it feels good, right? To see all the decorations and the lights. It just brings the spirit up.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
It does. And I think that's why each year I keep decorating earlier and earlier and earlier. I used to be a week before Christmas, the tree went up, and either Christmas night or the day after Christmas, it came down. So, yeah, I've come a long ways because I'm decorating next week.
Oh, really? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well done. So, Lizzie, tell me a little bit about... tell me a little bit about your journey. I mean, where did it all, when did it start?
Okay. Back in 2010, I was in my 20th year of teaching high school students. And I had two young teenage daughters. And it was June of 2010, and I was at the cottage for a weekend, and I was bitten by a tick. I didn't realize it or know it then. It was on the top of my left foot. I had a bullseye rash that wasn't a typical target rash, but it was an expanding rash on the top of my foot. And I just kind of ignored it because I didn't know what it was. I knew it looked a little different, but I didn't think it was anything that was serious at all. It was June. I had like exams to mark and end of year crunches, and my grade 12 students were graduating, and I had all of that to deal with. And I just kept plugging away. And one of the teachers in the staff room looked at my foot and she said, "You should get that looked at." And I didn't. I kept going, and I started getting like a little bit of a spotted rash that started going up my leg. And anyway, over the course of the summer, I was just feeling really tired, exhausted, kind of achy, sore, and was getting really brain fog. Like, and previously I had been, you know, I was like super mom. I was going to the gym. I was, you know, the girls, like if there was a bake sale or a rummage sale or, you know, or Sunday school, like I was,
you're all in.
driving back and forth to dance and, you know, whatever, you know, practices they had, I was going. And then that summer, I just really slowed down. And then I went back to school and tried to teach. And oh, big mistake. It was, and then I had all kinds of temperature deregulation. And then I started having like real tremors in my hands and whole body vibrations. And then I started getting really sensitive to light sound. And then I started having heart issues, like POTS, and my blood pressure would go up and then it would go way down. And I started feeling very dizzy, like I was on a boat all the time. And it was just a big cascade. And I landed in emergency twice the following January. And of course, the doctors were like very dismissive. And would you like some Ativan, dear? No, I'm not depressed. There's something seriously wrong with me. And I didn't know it at the time, but when they took my blood, my white blood count was very high, and I had a very high neutrophil count, but no one told me.
So they didn't say anything about potential infection or anything like that?
No. They sent me on my merry way. And my family doctor, she never followed up with any of that with me. And so I had to go off work. It kept getting worse. I ended up in bed for like close to 4 years.
4 years in bed?
Yeah, it was awful. Just as my husband said, you lived in a dark cave, he said to me, because I couldn't tolerate any light. I'm sure it was in my brain, so I had an encephalitis. And so I had to wear sunglasses all the time. I got to the point where I couldn't drive, even being a passenger in the car. I had to put my hands over my eyes and just hold my head, because it felt like I was in a roller coaster. Walking was difficult. I was falling down, and I was, extreme, extreme pain. I had to go on morphine. It was dreadful.
Wow. Sorry. So the rash that you had, did it eventually go away, or did it stay? And did you put the rash together with what may be going on with you?
Yeah. Rashes are funny ones because, you know, dermatologists don't know what to do with them. But eventually the rash did go away. But it took a lot of treating, you know. And I had to find a Lyme literate doctor out of province. I live in Canada. I live in Nova Scotia. And, you know, I had two brothers who were saying, I talk to people and they think that you have Lyme disease. So I went to my family doctor and she said, well, we don't have Lyme disease here.
Yeah, of course, no, they don't.
As if the ticks magically stop at the border or the county line, and they go, they're just, oops.
It's incredible how that is. Oops,
I can't go any further.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, well, couldn't I be the first one? Like, you know, if we don't have it here, maybe I'm the first one. Like, let's open our eyes to this possibility. So she did the ELISA test, and of course, by that time, and we're talking like three and a half years later, it was negative. And they're not going to run a Western blot, you know. So I was stuck, and I was going from like neurologist to internal medicine specialist, you name it. And they even put me in a environmental clinic that they have here. And, you know, the doctors were, they were like, oh, well, you know, you can meditate your way through pain. And your body temperature's low. Let's put you in a sauna. And I'm like, but I can't sweat. I was freezing to death. I was in adrenal failure, which is what was happening, you know, and it was like I was beyond hypothyroid. I was like, so finally they figured out my adrenals were in great distress, and they put me on Cortef or hydrocortisone. just to kind of build up the adrenals a bit. And then I decided, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, mainstream medicine is not working for me. So I went to a naturopathic doctor, and he discovered that I was like heavy metal toxic. And he suggested, oh, you got to do chelation. Well, I started doing chelation, and oh my gosh, the pain was even worse. Like, I couldn't tolerate it. But see, it was also breaking up biofilms, but I wasn't doing anything to address the infections, right? Because I didn't know I had them. And then I went to see another naturopath, and he decided to try me on some different herbals and different supplements and things. And I was just like, you know,
what did that naturopath feel was going on?
Well, one of them actually thought that I might have had Epstein-Barr virus, and he was right. I did, because it really reactivates when you're that sick, right? You just, your whole immune system is so depressed. It just, yeah. So he was right. So he put me on like a homeopathic formula, but it just wasn't enough. There was just too much going on inside me, right? So then finally, when one of my brothers called the head of the Lyme Disease Foundation in Canada and explained to him my symptoms, at that point, I couldn't even read or watch TV. Like, I couldn't believe that this was happening. It was like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, like all packaged together, right? So he said, oh, it sounds very much like Lyme disease. You should really have her test through the Igenics lab in California. So I managed to get a test kit in and got my blood taken here from the naturopath, and he, you know, knew how to do the centrifuge for the blood and send it off. And it came back, and there were all kinds of interesting, like, you know, there were some positive bands, but not every band was positive. There were some indeterminates as well. And so anyway, we found a naturopathic doctor in Canada who was well regarded, and I flew out to see him. The problem was I was on the Atlantic Ocean and he was on the Pacific Ocean, and so I had to fly all across Canada, and my 83-year-old mother came with me, and she carried all my bags because I could barely lift my arms and my head and my. Anyway, when I went in there, I explained to him, you know, all my symptoms and everything, and he said, "Well, you very likely have Lyme disease and co-infections," and he knew just which co-infections to test. And so it came back. Yeah, he, for sure, it was a tick that bit me. Anaplasmosis, Bartonella, of course, Epstein-Barr virus, mycotoxins for mold. I've been teaching in a classroom that was leaking. So I was in there, and it was a relatively new school, but it had a flat roof, and there were always little drips coming in. So the drips mold, right? Yeah. So he started me on, I was already supporting my adrenals. So he started me on, thyroid medication like T3, because my reverse T3 was sky high. So he was able to figure out the ratio between my T3 and my reverse T3, and my body just wasn't making any T3. So he put me on that immediately. And cholestyramine for the mycotoxins. And and antivirals. Valtrex for the Epstein-Barr virus. And in about, I'd say 3 months, I started to actually sweat again. And then in another couple months, all of my shaking tremors began to disappear.
Wow. Exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty earth-shattering for me. And I, you know, and then eventually over time, all the courses of treatment, my light sensitivity, my energy level, and everything has just been gradually improving. It's been a long, long process. You know, it's 12 years, over 12 years now, right?
So 2010, yeah. Did you pretty much kind of stick with that protocol, the same protocol for quite some time then, the cholestyramine and Valtrex?
We did that for a while, but then he said, okay, we gotta start hitting the lime. And so we started with he started me with tetracycline, not doxycycline because of the rash and the skin issues. And he figured the tetracycline would be easier on my stomach. And so we started with that. And then I literally blew up. Like I was inflamed everywhere, and I got episcleritis in this eye, my left eye, and I had to go see an eye doctor. And eye doctors and dentists are so much easier to converse with than mainstream medical doctors. All you have to say is, oh, I have Lyme disease, I was infected, da, da, da. And they go, oh, and he pieced it all together. He said, okay, I know what's going on. And so he was able to actually treat my eyes so that, and I was worried. They say, don't take any steroids with Lyme disease, because then it can, you know, make you go, actually makes the infection worse. But it was a very specific steroid drop that they put in my eye. And I had to cover my tear duct and everything, but it really did calm the eye down. Now, it came back a few times. But anyway, I haven't had it in a while.
When you say steroids, because I've heard that a lot too, so obviously Dr. K can answer this for us, but is it true that like steroids, like for the eye or steroid injections, those are okay? It's oral steroids that will flare your Lyme? Is that correct or no?
So steroids in themselves are immunosuppressants. Yeah. So a lot of times, which means that then you're suppressing the immune system to go after the Lyme. But the issue is that a lot of times it's not the pathogen that creates a lot of the symptoms. It's more our response to the chemicals that they produce, the biotoxins that they produce. So sometimes we then need things to kind of calm down the excessive immune system response. I mean, obviously then we will have less resources to go after the Lyme because we've calmed it down. But we also then kind of just for being able to function better and reduce that inflammation that can impact, you know, brain, nerves, you know, gut, eye, you know, whatever tissue, whatever it may be. So okay. It both has pros and cons. You know, you shouldn't overuse it, but at certain times, it can be extremely helpful.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, over time, as my adrenals improved, I was able to get off the Cortef, the hydrocortisone, and wean off that. And actually, that was a good thing overall. I could just feel, I felt better. But at the time that I needed it, it was important too,
it's a lifesaver. You know, if your adrenals are done, because the adrenals function in conjunction with so many other systems throughout the whole body. You know, like I think pretty much every tissue has cortisol receptors on them. And so, which means that the adrenals will impact every possible tissue in your whole body. So when the adrenals are just completely done, like yours were, it means that all the tissues are not getting that signaling, so none of the tissues will function well You know, so at that point, then you need to bring in things like hydrocortisone to
yes.
to have that signaling and kind of be able to give the body the oomph to do the job it needs to do.
Yeah. I guess they call it a physiologic dose mm-hmm. versus a pharmacologic dose.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people get confused. You know, you give the body, as you say, just enough, the little bit it needs just to function, as opposed to hitting it with this, you know, a whole pile of steroids that could potentially aggravate mm-hmm. the infections. Yeah.
Exactly. What kind of a dose were you on? Like 10 milligram, 20 milligram?
Yes. Yeah, 10 or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
which is a low dose, but exactly what you're saying. It's a physiological dose just to kind of support yes. the body in some of its function, but not pouring a whole, coming out with a fire truck and just pouring water on everything, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of have like a love-hate relationship with antibiotics for sure, because when you have, you know, infections that long, it's the antibiotics are just really hard on the system. They really, really, really are. Tyndamax made me want to. I just wanted someone to put a bullet through me. The herxing was so bad. And I've had some awful, awful, awful herxes, but I've gone like through many alternative, like from different herbals to back to, you know, getting heavy metals out with zeolite binder. And I've got one that was fantastic for me, and I'm still using it, and it's great. Also, you know, doing saunas and red light therapy, and you know, like you parasite cleanses, like, because you know the gut gets after, you know, I think I had gut issues before Lyme too, to be fair, you know. And so doing those parasite cleanses, detoxing, heavy metals, like all of that has been, and clean eating, like eating whole organic foods, nothing packaged or processed, and trying, and even though not consistent, because you can never be consistent when you're sick with Lyme disease, because every day is different. Right. You know, you think
that is for sure. One day we can walk and the next day we can't.
Right. Like you get a little bit of energy and you're like, oh my gosh, I think today is a good day, but oh, I can't tell anybody because I'll jinx it. Right.
Right.
You know, and then you think you can do something, and then the next day you're just down. You're down. And then, man, that really hurts, you know, but you get back up again and you try to keep, you know, every time you can't, this is my philosophy, and I think it's really gotten me as far as I am right now. It's just, if you can do, you know, and it doesn't matter what it is, even if it's just to go outside and just stand there, or you know, or just like just don't stay in bed, like, you know, it's easy to stay in bed. No, it's not when you're really sick, it's horrible. But if you can do something, try.
Right. Like that, because I tell people all the time that there's something you can do. It may be very simple, as, you know, like you said, walking outside. Or, you know, having somebody help you sit outside. There's always something you can do. You can listen to music. You can.
Right.
There's so many things that you can do when you are bedridden and you think you can't do anything. And it's important to find that can.
Yes. And that kind of leads me to another thing, because we have a tendency with Lyme disease to just focus on the infections and, you know, supporting the immune system, which is hugely important, very, very, very important. But we don't talk about, the healing, the internal healing that also needs to happen. Because you're traumatized by the medical system. You can be traumatized by friends and family who don't understand, by communities who just, you know, I mean, someone gets cancer and, you know, the whole community goes out and bakes casseroles and brings them to you. And when you get Lyme disease, nobody knows anything about it. Nobody really wants to know anything about it. And there are no casseroles that show up at the door, right?
Yeah.
You looked. You kind of went up and there was no casserole in the morning there when you.
I really did. I went to the door and I opened it. There's no casserole.
Another morning and no casserole.
No casserole. But I know exactly what you're saying. When I'm super independent, and when I was going through my journey before I was bedridden, when I would go to the grocery store, I would have to get in one of those little electric carts. And, you know, being in my late 30s, early 40s, I'm like, this is really embarrassing. But I did what I had to do. And yes. People would just look at me. Well, a handful of years ago, I tore my Achilles tendon and I had a boot on. And I'm driving this little cart, actually having fun in it. And everybody wants to help me. Oh, can I help you grab that up tie for you? But yeah, when I had Lyme, nobody wanted to help me. They're just like, why is this person in a wheelchair? She looks fine. So it really,
yeah.
I know what you say. Right, you look great. Or if you have cancer, you don't have hair. So obviously you have cancer. So you're really sick. But, you know, us as Lyme people, we're not really sick because nobody really knows what it is. And a lot of people don't believe it.
And you don't look it, so therefore they don't believe it. And the doctor says you don't have Lyme. So, meditation, prayer, music, finding a hobby, like something that makes you feel good. It's so important to do that right along with, you know, all of the other things that makes good healing, you know?
Yeah, it's because you have the limbic system, which is your kind of fight, you know, fight, flight, or, you know, freeze response. And that impacts, drives the immune system tremendously. And also it impacts that inflammatory system. So your mindset to where you're at is going to impact your ability to control the inflammatory response from all these different bugs. And also, when they feel your stress, they are actually impacted by that. And they feel the stress, which means that they will secrete more chemicals in defense for their own existence, which is going to make you feel more sick. So it is, you know, working on your mindset, you know, doing limbic retraining kind of systems. You have, you know, like the Gupta program is a program that's out there. DNRS is another program that's out there. You know, all these things are really important, you know, and, you know, anything like prayer, meditation, hobbies, finding joy in life, you know, those are key. They're much more important, actually, than all the different herbs and antibiotics and things. I'm not saying that they're not important, but if you don't, the bugs exist within an environment, and you need to change that environment into a place where you're as strong as possible and the bugs aren't as toxic as possible.
Yeah. Yes. The self-dialogue, self-talk was a key thing for me, because instead of saying to my legs and my painful feet that weren't moving the way that I wanted them to, and I remember seeing a video of myself from years ago, at that point when I was very sick, and I just saw myself dancing in the video, and I love dancing, and I just started to cry because I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to dance again. Then finally, I came to, okay, legs, feet, you're here. You're going to support me now when I stand up, and I'm going to be grateful for you. So every time I stood up, I thanked them. I said, thank you. Thank you for supporting me today. And every day I was just talking to myself, not out loud, but in my head, I was saying very nice things to myself, you know? And over time, it totally changes everything.
I mean, we know when somebody thanks us for doing something, we want to do more of that. And the body is not different. You know, the legs want to do more of whatever it is that you're grateful that they're doing.
Yeah. So the first time I went back out on my mountain bike, I was talking out loud, look at you, girl. Go, girl. I was all by myself up there. Look at what you can do. Oh, my God. Isn't this fantastic?
I love it. I mean, it's so important for you to even say it again, that you thank your legs, because so many, and I can relate, when you're so sick, you know, you don't want to pray. You don't even think there's a God, because God wouldn't let this happen to me.
Yeah.
But nothing positive can come out of our mouths. It's just too difficult. And people don't understand the importance of your mindset when you're going through this, how very, very important it is. You know, think when you can do something, when your body allows it. Remember Lizzie. Lizzie says, thank your body.
Absolutely. It's so important, because we're all still here. So we must still be here for a reason, right? And, you know, and if you can live through it and talk about it and maybe help others, that's wonderful.
That's huge. And I can just see you going down that hill with.
We got a crazy lady coming down the hill,
exactly.
Going really fast.
Exactly.
She's having a conversation with herself.
Exactly. I don't see anyone else on the bike, but she's
no one's
talking
listening.
To somebody. I love it.
I love that. Yes, I love that.
So when it is. This whole process was just kind of a gradual getting back, you know, each regaining one more step and gaining ground. I mean, did you, through that process, did you work then with the same nature path, or did you kind of shift around depending, I feel like I've gotten as much as I can over here.
Yeah.
So then I go over here and see if I can take the next step there.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I had to do, you know, like, and you have to read the situation yourself, like, you know, because if your practitioner just keeps offering you the same things over and over again, and you're not seeing any changes, it's time to look elsewhere for answers. And so, I do an awful lot of research on my own. I did a lot of genetic research, studying science journals, articles, case studies, just understanding. Detox is so, so hugely important, because some of us can't. And that was where I was, especially with the fact that I couldn't sweat at all, like for several years.
I'd
say 6 years I didn't sweat. And then you've got, you know, your inherited, you know, genetic issues too from your family that you're susceptible to. So, you know, the things I had to be aware of, and you consult with a different doctor here and someone there and listen to people, and they're not the authority over you. You are in charge of your health, and you are, you know, queen or king of your domain, and you determine the course of your treatment, you know, and with the help of, you know, an experienced practitioner, but someone who listens too, because some don't listen, or some have, you know, they have their one trick pony approach. Mm-hmm. But it's important to take ownership of your own health and don't blame anyone else, because, you know, your practitioner may be doing the best that he or she can, but maybe he or she can see something that you don't too, you know? So it's important to listen and But blaming doesn't help anyone in the end, you know.
It's so important that kind of following your intuition and trusting your gut instinct, and that's, yeah, that's such a key component. So you're right. I mean, kind of you do need to rely on somebody that knows more in certain areas than you do.
Sure.
But I feel that even you may not understand fully, there's still being that open to that intuition and feeling, you know, yes, this feels right, you know, this resonates with me, you know, this is what I want to do, and listen to that through your process.
Sure. Yeah.
Being your own advocate, and like you said, Lizzie, when something quits working and that's all that they are offering you, it's time to move on. You need to always work with a practitioner that is going to, you just need to resonate with them. You need to feel like you guys are on the same page. And just because maybe you're not, that doesn't mean they're not a good practitioner.
It's
just not the one for you that you need right now.
Right. And that brings me to another point. Like, something may not work for you right now that a practitioner is offering you, but you may do some other things down the road, and then whatever that practitioner was offering you before, it might actually work now. Do you know what I mean?
I'm like, so glad you said that.
Because
I work with a lot of Lyme patients, just trying to educate and advocate for them, because I'm so passionate about them, you know, because I've been there. And I tell people all the time, do not ever get rid of your supplements, because if it didn't work for you today, it may work for you in 6 months after you go through some other things, you know. And we spend a lot of money on that stuff. So don't throw that money out, is what I tell people all the time. So I'm glad you brought that point up, because it's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, and it might be just some little simple thing that you add. I don't know, maybe, well, vitamin D is very important, but you know what I mean? Like, it might be the difference of just getting one of your vitamins topped up, and then, oh, you can tolerate this particular protocol or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's important to listen, but yet, so many tend to go to the blame, or, you know, and they get angry and disappointed, and, you know, and it's one of those things, you just gotta roll with it.
And it's kind of like I tell my patients, when you deal with gaining your health, it's like opening a safe. You know, you do one number, and that prepares you to be able to do another number, and you do this combination, and finally you're able to open the safe. Frequently the safe is closed the whole time while you're doing all these numbers. So so it may not feel like you're getting somewhere, but you are kind of resolving issues that's making you get closer. But then, like you're mentioning, you know, one number needs to be done at the appropriate time. So it's not just like the number 22. Well, it didn't work before, so I'm not going to do it now. But at that right sequence, it is the timing. Just like your chelation you were doing, you know, it was not the right time then, because now you're just busting open all the biofilms and you had nothing to clear out everything that came out. But in combination with other things, you know, maybe some ozone and some binders or whatever, you know, it would have been the perfect thing. But, you know, your body would have had to be ready for that. So just because chelation didn't work then doesn't mean it, like, to, you know, in your example, doesn't mean that it won't work later on.
Yeah.
Right. And it's funny because I kind of come full circle, and I'm a big ozone fan. I have my own ozone steamer. I've done, you know, the ozone, blood ozone, major auto hemotherapy. I'm getting the heavy metals out, you know, that's, and the parasites, it's a big focus, and gut health is huge. I mean, that's where your immune system really begins, right? And
yeah, you should have seen, we have one of these machines, you know, it's called RHP, or another name for it's EBU, you know, where you, blood comes out from one of your arms, it gets ozonated, oxygenated, goes back into the other, so you can pretty much ozonate your whole blood volume in one sitting.
But amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And as you see, there's like a little worm that came out of one person's blood. And it was actually, I didn't see it myself, it was one of our nurses that saw it. And it was actually moving when it came out, then it slowed down in its movement. And then
as
we kind of, that was filtered out, you know, the process. So it's pretty kind of fascinating sometimes what you see.
Wow, I wish I had access to that. One time I did a 10 pass ozone, and like for the next week afterwards, it felt like I was in, well, the worst fight of my life. Like it felt like someone just literally beat me up, you know, everywhere. It was so painful. And I early on had, before I, you know, even saw a Lyme doctor, one of the doctors, the naturopaths, he thought I might have infections. So he suggested hydrogen peroxide IV after the ozone, right? But the second the hydrogen peroxide drip interacted with the blood in the line, it was just all foaming up. They had to they had to switch out the line because the infections were just so rampant, right? In my blood.
Fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah, we do a combination of, you know, we do hydrochloric acid, hydrogen peroxide and vitamin C, and that tend to be kind of a good combination, because then you have the hydrochloric that helps to kind of do the busting, and then you bring in the hydrogen peroxide to kill off, and then, you know, vitamin C to kind of boost the immune system, recharge, and also
Vitamin C is so important. People have no idea how hugely important it is.
There's so many cool things out there. So tell me, what was it that kind of finally pushed you into saying, I feel well now?
Well, yeah, I've had like moments where I was like, oh my gosh, this feels amazing and I'm feeling so much better. And it was, you know, usually in the springtime and everything. And sadly, I was going to my mother's summer home. And I was taking care of her, and we didn't know, but there was an oil contamination in the concrete in the basement.
Was this recently when you were just there?
No, it's been fixed.
Okay.
Yeah. But this went on for several years. And what happened was she had to have an oil tank switched out for the furnace for insurance purposes. And the guy who did that, he had an oil spill on the floor and never told us. Like he said there was a cup of oil spilled. Well, it turned out it was more like a half a tank of oil. And we were in there like every summer and fall. Every fall I'd come back and I'd be deathly ill. All the benzene and toluene and everything, I was inhaling all that. So, and my Lyme doctor actually kept saying to me, are you sure you're not, you know, exposed to environmental toxins of some sort? And I'd say, no, I think I'm fine. And anyway, it turns out that I was, so it was like, for me, it was an up and down yo-yo, as most people experience, you know, they call it the Lyme roller coaster. But in addition to that, I was getting environmentally poisoned every year. So thankfully, that's all been fixed just in the last 2 years. So the last 2 years have been so much better. I can finally say now that I have like great energy. Like, awesome. And that is hard to come by when you've been that sick for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my endurance level, you know, I don't nap anymore. It's like, now.
That's funny you brought that up, because I wasn't just telling you that last week? Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm kind of a little irritated because I love it when the weather gets cold and I want to turn the fireplace on and just cuddle up with a blanket and take a nap during the day. I can't nap. I have so much energy. I can't nap. I know it should be a great thing.
Yeah, she was very upset with me.
I was. So, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's huge. You know, and people are saying, oh my gosh, like you look so much different. Like when other people start saying, oh, you look different and, you know, you look good. And I'm like, wow, you know, like I must have been looking pretty awful before.
So you really did look sick. They just didn't realize it until they saw you looking good.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
they should have given you that casserole. You earned it.
I still want that casserole. Yeah.
Too bad you didn't live in Idaho. I'd bring you a casserole, yeah. Lizzie.
And you know, the irony is, in this area of Nova Scotia, like people are genuinely very giving. And you know, I mean, someone passes away or someone's sick. I mean, they all do benefits and bake and have fundraisers and everything, but nobody understands Lyme disease.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And the doctors here, they're just not trained to diagnose and to treat, and you know.
Well, you know, it's not just there. Unfortunately, no. It's here in the States too.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah. I was happy to hear when you mentioned earlier that your husband contacted the Lyme Disease Center up there, and that they referred them to Igenix. I love hearing that, because
yes,
that's one of the amazing labs that are out there to help us.
Oh, look, I had, you know, all kinds of samples from all kinds of places and things sent all over North America, yeah. Like, and even to Germany. It was like, you know, you have fantastic labs in the U.S. And I got some great information. I had to pay for it all. It was very, very, very expensive. But it led me in, you know, and with that, you have to do certain things. You have to sell your house, you know, the house that you don't want to sell. Well, I had to sell it, right? You know, it's like, and there's grieving involved in all of that. But at the end of the day, it's just a thing, right?
Right.
It's, you know, and you got to have your health. Health is number one priority. So, and every little, and you know, you can't look at it as like, oh my God, I spent X amount of dollars and I've lost this much money. But, you know, maybe you gain things in other ways, right?
And here you are. I mean, meaning that after that, you know, now you have something to bounce back on and live a life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's huge. And by the way, not only can I mountain bike, I can dance again.
Ooh, I like it.
I love that so much. Oh, it does. It, you know, Lyme changes you in so many ways. You know, and you mentioned earlier that you need to heal your mind and your spirit and your soul, because I just felt broken for so long,
yeah,
that I didn't feel human.
Yeah.
Like I didn't. And so you really have to heal all aspects of your body and your mind. And I know that for me, and as we do these podcasts, we learn so many times that after people go through their journey, it's completely transformed their life and what they used to do. And like my mission in life changed, and now my mission is to help my Lyme community, you know,
that
wasn't on me. So,
yeah.
Are you still a teacher, or what is it that you do? Has your mission changed?
Yeah. I've got on Facebook, I've got Lizzie Lyman Detox. It's a little online group, and I share ideas, supplements, you know, just hoping that there'll be something that someone will grab onto and go, oh, hey, maybe I should investigate that. Like, here's an example. I couldn't absorb magnesium, no matter what kind of magnesium or how I took it, even IV magnesium. My body just couldn't absorb it. Well, I found out I was taurine deficient. And when you have, like, when your amino acids are in the tank, especially taurine, your body, your kidneys will dump magnesium. And so I started taking taurine, and then, like, literally within days, I started walking like from, like, I looked like I was 100-year-old lady. By the way, I was supposed to be using a walker, and I refused. You know, I unfortunately, I inherited my mother's vanity. I didn't want to be seen with a walker, you know, not at 46. So I started taking taurine, and all of a sudden I could walk, like, without, you know, being hunched over with this wide gait, and, you know, I could actually move more fluidly. And I was like, okay, so that's something that I share. You know, I share little tidbits and things. People will message me, I'll give them ideas, you know, troubleshooting, because that's, you know, and then they can take with it what they.
Yeah. Because everybody's different. Things don't work the same for everybody. So I'm sorry, can you repeat one more time? What is the name of your Facebook page?
Oh, it's called Lizzie Lyman Detox.
I love it.
Perfect.
That's awesome.
I like it. Beautiful.
So can you tell us, because I also think that this is a huge part of our journey, is that when people get on the other side of Lyme, not everybody, but I know more than I wish I knew, once they get on the other side, they just kind of go back to living like they never had Lyme. And for me, I, you know, do my binder pills. I do detox modalities all the time. I take certain supplements, and that is something I'll do the rest of my life. And I am okay with that. If I can have my life, I'll do that. But so many people just quit it all. So what is it that you do to continue to stay healthy?
Oh, I continue to do everything that you do. My supplements, I'll occasionally go for an IV. I try to exercise. I ozone, steam bath, focused on detox, like eating well. Like, and I literally, like, you know, today I had a cheat, and boy, it did not agree with my stomach. So I have to really be very careful. No dairy, no gluten, no sugar. You know, I have to really, and I'm okay with that, mm-hmm. you know, because I want to maintain a quality of life. And Lyme disease, once you've had it for so long, you just can't take one pill and be done with it. You know, and I'm okay with that. Like, cause I'm at a level of function now that I'm really happy with, and I'm actually proud of, you know, cause it takes a lot of work. It does. But it's worth it. And I'm going to do everything I can within my power to, you know, to keep improving and to keep, you know, and to keep above it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Be proactive instead of reactive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you continue on those things to stay healthy, because we just know how sick we were, especially, you know, for us that have been bedridden, you know, and when we get our life back, it's so easy to just kind of want to forget about Lyme and put it, you know, down in the back of your memory and never think about it again. But for me, obviously for you too, like that just wasn't going to work for us. So we continue to do what we need to do to stay healthy. We continue to help the Lyme community, you know, and even doing this podcast with us is, you know, helping those listeners out there know that it doesn't matter where you are in your journey, the beginning, the middle, the worst part of it, there is hope for them that they can get better.
Oh, 100%. There's always an answer.
Yep.
There always is an answer. You just have to find it.
You just have to find it. Right. Right.
Well, Lizzie, thank you so much. This was amazing. And yeah, that was fantastic. Thank you so much. And it's really incredible, the journey that you had. And I'm so, I mean, I wish I would have been there on your bike and on your first dance. And
right?
It would have been awesome.
Like, I know. I think that you need to, like, video something and post it somewhere.
Yeah.
Let me just know, you know, I'm kind of camera shy. I have been my whole life. So maybe that's something I need to work on next.
Yeah.
I think you should, because I think it would be very impactful.
Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Lovely meeting both of you.
You as well.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for everything. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com. And an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.